So Sunday afternoon, I called church members into a time of fasting and prayer, and so I asked specifically that we take our lunch hours this week and begin to pray that God would do some specific things. And so I asked us to pray first that God would continue to give us wisdom and guidance as we pursue new music minister, for God to renew and revive us spiritually, and for God to allow us to see people saved, and for God to show us just specifically and individually what He would want us to give for 2018. And so I thought that tonight it would be good for us to circle back around and look at what the Bible has to say. We can't obviously see everything that the Bible has to say, but what the Bible has to say about fasting, so that we have a good understanding, or hopefully a better understanding, and also be encouraged through this time. I hope you're participating in this, certainly, and we'll address this sometime again in here. I don't want you to do anything that's going to cause you physical harm, and so if you're not participating, and because of those things, I don't want you to feel guilty. That's not the point, but I do want to encourage you. This is something, if you've never done, that you may find that it's a real blessing in your life. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, we get to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is still in the Sermon on the Mount. He is preaching. We know that the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving very, very practical instruction about life in the kingdom of God. What does life look like in the kingdom of God? It should be totally different than life in this world. And so look at verse 1. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And so Jesus has said your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. But there's a problem, because when you look at the Pharisees, they're really not righteous. All right, Jesus was making a point there, but he's also sort of set up a point here, which is your righteousness should not be carried out like the Pharisees. This whole section, when we get to chapter 6, Jesus has been talking about living a life that is a kingdom life, a righteous life, but now he's going to say, but do not live your life in a way that brings attention to yourself. Do not live your life of righteousness so that everybody looks to you and says, oh, look at that person, they are so good. Oh, look at how pious that person is. Oh, look at how great of a person that is. And we can do that. We can do the right things for the wrong reason. And so Jesus is warning them against this. The Pharisees prayed, the Pharisees gave, the Pharisees fasted, but they did it all to receive the glory themselves. The attention was to be on them. And so in verse 1, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people." Now we know, because of everything else that he's been saying, he isn't condemning practicing righteousness before others. I mean, that would mean like monks. That's what we would have to be. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, don't practice your righteousness before others, making your motive for practicing that righteousness the praise and recognition of others. There's a fine line there. So live righteous when you're out in the world, but don't be a hypocrite. Don't do it just because you want the attention. Do it for the right reason. So he expects us to live a righteous life for all to see, but he's guarding against doing so just so all can see. That's not the point. Point isn't to do it so all can see. Now, drop down to verse 16. "And when you fast," right? So we've set the context in verse 1. And now he's going to tell us specifically in verse 16 about a specific righteous living, way of righteous living. 16, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. And by the way, who are the hypocrites? Pharisees, right. All right. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, Jesus now moves from this general sense of not practicing your righteousness before people to draw attention to how you do this in fasting. And so we've got to know what is fasting. Well, fasting is a voluntary abstaining from food and other things, but for spiritual purposes. So this is not a hunger strike. This is not a diet. All right? You withhold food, but that doesn't make it fasting. It's fasting when you're doing it for spiritual purposes. Know, by the way, that fasting is not a Christian thing. I mean, it is, but it's not solely a Christian thing. Fasting in Islam is required for Ramadan. If you want to be a good Muslim, you have to fast. And so this isn't something that's just reserved for us. All right? You can fast from things like TV, the phone, computer, all of those things. However, when it comes to the Bible, what we see is that there's specifically this emphasis on food, that you are withholding food from yourself for spiritual purposes. Let me tell you or read to you what John Piper defines as fasting. I think it's very good and a good definition for us to use. Fasting is a temporary renunciation of something that is in itself good. Now think about that, because that's going to come back and be important. You are denying yourself something that is in itself good, like food. Nothing wrong with food. But you do it in order to intensify your expression of need for something greater, namely God and His work in our lives. And so you are denying yourself of something, and it's good, but you are doing so specifically so that you can get more of, gain more of. Now, we know we got all of the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to get, right? But draw a closer relationship to, understand His will, love Him more deeply for God. That's why you are doing this. So when we get to verse 16, there's three things Jesus tells us about fasting here that are important. And the middle one is really the most important. But one, there is an expectation to fast. Did you see what Jesus says? When you fast, just as Jesus expected that they would pray, just as He expected that they would give, He sets the expectation that they would also fast. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, it says this, "Then the disciples of John came to Him, Jesus, saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples not fast?'" Do not fast. "And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast.'" So these disciples of John asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples fast?" And He said, "Because the bridegroom is with them." That's a time of celebration. That's not a time of fasting. However, there is going to come a day when the bridegroom's not here, and then they will fast. And when do we see the disciples fasting? They start again in Acts. Right after Jesus' ascension. So this time is between His ascension and His second coming. And so right now, the expectation of His disciple, or then His disciples, what they were going to fast, He expects us to also do this. Now, it's different than a command, right? So again, this isn't like the Muslims where there's a command in the Bible that says you must fast. But Jesus holds it in high regard in the sense that He expects it. He knows the benefit that it is to us, that it is good for us. And so He would expect His disciples to follow this, and they were going to fast, and He expects us to fast. But look at the second thing found in verse 16 of Matthew 6, and that is that there's the Godward focus of fasting. So there's the expectation of fasting, but then there's the Godward focus of fasting. Jesus is saying, don't draw attention to yourself. That's not the point. Now, the reason is because the point of fasting is to direct your attention toward God and not others' attention toward you. We're not here to get the attention. Fasting is to get your attention in the right place, which is why you give up something. Right? You are denying yourself. You are saying no to something that is even okay for you to have so that you can get your full and direct attention on God. If your heart is right, then you will fast without the need of others knowing. He's saying you don't have to proclaim this because your heart is not about them knowing. Your heart is more concerned about your relationship with God and drawing close to Him. So don't make it a point to just advertise, right? That's what the Pharisees do. And he talks about the converse of this in verse 17. So don't tell everybody and make it a big deal. As a matter of fact, look at verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. The anointing of the oil, the washing of the face. Why that? It sounds very practical. Why? Because the anointing of the oil and the washing of the face would give you a sense of being rejuvenated and you would be refreshed. What was the opposite of that? They walked around with their faces gnarled, so they would walk around with a sense of, oh, I'm hungry, look at me, I'm so, you know, I'm fasting, I'm doing all these things. He says, no, you do the direct opposite. Matter of fact, not only do you not do that, don't contort your face, you need to do things that would say, no, I am refreshed and I'm good and things are going well and I'm not drawing attention to myself. That's the whole point. There's nothing magical about anointing your head with oil or washing your face during fasting. It's the context within which we're reading this is that that's how they would refresh themselves, even in the sick, when you would anoint with oil. Part of that is the refreshing that came with that. And so don't walk around making crazy faces and telling everybody that you're fasting. And even beyond that, do what you can to make sure that they don't recognize that you're fasting. All right? However, Jesus isn't saying it's a sin to reveal that you're fasting. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying don't make it a point, all right, to make sure that everybody knows that you're fasting. It is okay. If people know that you're fasting, there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay even to discuss that with someone. But what is the intent of your heart? And so this week I've been tweeting out that as a church we're fasting and praying. And certainly I don't think that's wrong or I wouldn't be doing it. But the point is not so everybody in the Twitter sphere, is that what y'all call it? Twitter sphere knows about Faith Family fasting. It is so that we as a body are headed in the same direction, praying for the same things. And by the way, as a reminder to you, this is what I've called you to and some of you have committed to. And so my hope is that it is for your benefit and for the benefit of the body. So that would be different than me tweeting and saying the exact same thing, by the way, with the intent that I want all other pastors to know that we are a spiritual church because we fast and we pray. See the difference? The difference is the heart. The difference is the heart. What is your intent? All right? So, if Jesus is saying, listen, the reason that you do this is because the attention is not to you, but the attention is to be towards God. Which, by the way, if you think about it, that's what all righteous living should do, yes? Everything that you do. That's why he goes down this list. We just happen to be talking about fasting. But he says, when you pray, when you give, when you do these things, it's not about drawing attention to you. All of your righteous living, which is why he wants us to live righteously in public, is to give the attention to God. That's why you can't just say it's about Sunday. Because when you live what you get in here, right? The truths of God's word out there, it's so that he gets the attention. Now, I didn't get this in high school, right? I thought it was all about just the law. And so I was the law guy in high school. And so all my friends, and they'd listen to the music and this, that, and the other. And every time there was a cuss word, I'd go, ah, there's a cuss word, you know. I'm just pointing out all the wrong things. I didn't bring attention to God. It was my own self-righteousness. I was making myself better than them. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. I was a hypocrite in some ways. It was them saying, look at how good I am, and don't you wish you could be like me? I think there's a song, something like that. Don't you wish you could be like me, right? And so that's their point. That's not the point. The point is I'm doing this because I want you to see how good and righteous and holy and glorious and magnificent my God is. That's why I do it. That's the heart. And specifically in fasting, it's about, now I want to see how magnificent and glorious my God is. So I'm giving up some things so that I can draw close and draw near, so that I can seek His will, so that I can know more about Him, whatever it is that you are pursuing. And so this is why Jesus would expect us to fast. It's like you expect things out of your kids that are good for them. Jesus understands the benefit of fasting. Think about what would happen if we spent more time intentionally setting aside things that were good, nothing wrong, not sinful, but we set aside things that were good for the sole purpose of pursuing the one who was of greater value. What if our life was marked by that? And setting aside things that are good or things that are not bad is key. Because if it's bad, it's sin. You should be warring against that already. I mean, you should be setting those things aside. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles you. But he's saying good things. Good that are things that aren't inherently bad. Food is okay. But to say that's something that I desire, that's something that is not sin, it's something that I enjoy, I'm willing to take that and push it away, that takes a lot more self-denial. It takes a lot more to say, no, it's okay for me to have, but I'm not going to have it in order to pursue what is a far greater value than anything, even if it is good and okay. So we're denying ourselves so that we can pursue God, and we're denying those things that are good. Now look, I wouldn't say across the board that TV was necessarily good, but if you have a box that has that projects a picture on the screen, that's not bad. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? Now what you watch on that screen, what you allow to be projected is different. Right? But there's nothing inherently wrong with a box that has the ability to put images on it. And so to deny yourself that, even a video game, there's nothing wrong with most video games. But to say, yes, I can play this, there's nothing wrong with this, it doesn't dishonor God for me to, but I'm going to set that aside. Think about the hours that we spend watching TV, the hours that we spend playing video games, the hours that we spend eating, right? We're going to set those things aside. Now, I don't do that, right? I don't set it aside so I can go do something else. Oh, look, I'm fasting from food so that I can go play video games, or I'm going to fast from video games because I can watch TV. That's not the point. It is to pursue God. So in those times, and this is why food is so good, because we normally kind of eat on a schedule, especially that lunchtime, and that gives us an hour where we can just say, okay, I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to, in this hour, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to pray, and we're going to seek His will in these things. All right, so but what about the times people fasted or for specific things like victory and deliverance and rain, all of those things? Well, to be sure, fasting for specific things is not wrong. But what we need to know is that we fast for the specific purpose, right, of spiritual things so that we see what God wants us to know about these specific things. Does that make sense? And so I'm fasting for victory if I'm in the Old Testament, right? We're going to fast. We want God to bring us victory. Well, I'm not necessarily fasting so I can pull God's rope and He gives me victory. We're going to talk about that in just a second. I'm fasting because I want to know what God's will is in this moment so that I gain the victory. Because He needs to guide me and direct me and show me what He desires. And so if you're not fasting for a specific purpose, if it's not a spiritual purpose, then you're just back to dieting. So I would encourage you to fast for specific things that you want to discern God's will in. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? However, are you fasting? This is the question when you're fasting about a specific thing. Are you fasting to get what you want, or are you fasting to put yourself in a position to accept whatever God wants? And those are like light years apart. Are you fasting because, God, I need this or I want this in my life, and so I'm coming to you to kind of like bargain? I'm going to show you how dependent I am on you, and I'm going to show you how religious I am and how much I love you through my fasting so that you will do this. Or are you actually coming and saying, here's something that I have in my life that's going on. Maybe it's a want, maybe it's a need, maybe it's just something I'm confused with. I want to make a decision, and I'm coming because it's unclear what your will is, and so I'm going to deny myself so that I can spend concerted time in prayer specifically about this, discerning what you want, so that I am ready to do whatever it is that you want and even deny what I want. Difference is the motive of the heart. The difference is the motive of the heart. Listen to the response God gives to the people in Zechariah 7:4. They've asked God if he wants them to continue in this fast, this yearly fast that they've done for 70 years. It says, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, say to all the people of the land and the priest, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted?" Did you get the implication of the question? You've been doing all these fasting. Was it for me that you fasted? Drop down to verse 11. "But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears and that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts." Here's what he says. "As I called and they would not hear, so they called and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts." What's the point? The point is you can fast for as long as you want, as many years as you want. But if your heart is not right, God's not hearing you. So the question when you fast, the question even when you pray, are you fasting for him? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Why am I doing this? Now to get real, I hope you're not fasting for me. I called you to a corporate fast, and I do appreciate if you're doing that. But if your reason is, well, the pastor told me, and this sounds really cool, so I think that's something we need to do because hopefully God will send us the right guy, then you got it wrong. We're fasting corporately so that we will, in these certain areas, discern what it is that God has for us. Which is why today when I was saying, today we're praying that God would give us salvations. What that means is, God, you need to tell me what that means for me. Where am I going to share? Who am I going to tell the gospel? Because it's about you and God. I'm discerning what God would have me do in this specific situation. Same thing with giving. And I don't want you to give just because I've said, listen, we need to think about this and pray about this. I want you to give because you are discerning through the fasting and the praying exactly what God would have you to give sacrificially. So this isn't an exercise in going through the motions so that we can kind of jingle God and hopefully falls out all the things that we want. This is an exercise of spiritual renewal as well, as we draw close to him and try to find out, what does this mean specifically for me, the things that we're praying for, what does this mean specifically for me and my relationship to the Lord? There's a third thing we see in these verses. Number three is the promise that comes with fasting. There was an expectation to fast. There was a specific Godward focus of our fasting. And then Jesus gives us a promise that comes with fasting. He says, "Your Father will reward you." Now, this is where people go kind of off the rails when it comes to fasting. Because again, they think and they see it as the rope, as the chain, as the way to manipulate God. That God has somehow made a deal with us. And the deal goes like this: if you will fast and pray, then I'll give you what you want. That's not how the deal goes. That's not the deal. Fasting is not the means by which we get whatever we want. Fasting does not compel God to do something that is outside of His will. However, in these verses, God has obligated Himself by His commands and promises so that when Jesus says, when you fast with the right heart, you will be rewarded. God has obligated Himself to reward us when we fast with the right heart. And so the question is, what in the world does this promise mean? This promise of reward, and by the way, reason to fast in the way that Jesus tells us to fast. Well, look at what he says back in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father. So there is a way to fast that you will not get a reward. So you're going through all the motions and you're hungry, right? But it's doing nothing. And then there's a way that you're fasting before the Lord that honors Him, that says, I want to reward you. I want to reward you. So the problem is not the promise of reward. The problem is our misunderstanding of that promise. Jesus said the Father will reward you, but He did not define specifically here what the reward would be. And so our problem is we want to press our understanding, our selfish desires upon that word reward, and we want to define it ourselves. And that usually means, again, what we want, what we think is best for us. That's a dangerous place to be. If I need a job, what do? I fast and pray so God will reward me with a job. See how we do that? That's the reward. I have a request. I'm doing it rightly with the right heart. That means I'm going to get what I request. I need a mate. I want a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or I want God to bless me with someone who loves Him. And so we fast, and our hope and our desire and our attention and everything's on who is it that God, so I'm looking, who is it that God, that must be Him. That must be her. Because I'm fasting and praying. Certainly God is going to give me what I'm asking for. That's not what the text says. What if you pray and you fast for a job and God doesn't give you a job? But through that, He reveals a deeper way that He's your all-sufficient provider who is faithful to give you what you need. Which is better? Is it better that you get a job, or is it better that you don't have a job, but you understand God more in His fullness of being your great provider that you can trust in and you can run to at any time? Which is better? We pray and fast for a mate, and we say, God, give me a mate. Well, what if God doesn't want to give you a mate because He wants to keep you free to be single because He's calling you to be a missionary somewhere? Because He has greater plans for you. Which is better, that you're married and you're here in America, or that you remain single and that you are out on the mission field spreading the gospel into places that God has you and has equipped you by keeping you single? So it isn't about getting what you want. It's about getting what God wants for you. That is why we do this. God, I want a mate, but I am searching your will. I'm searching what you want, and I will continue to trust in you and cling to you so that if I'm called to be single, then I'm called to be single. And that is fine because that means you have better plans for me. Let me ask you this. If your reward in fasting is to know God more, would you be so satisfied that you couldn't wait to do it again? Or would you think, man, this fasting thing just doesn't work? I've done 3 days I've been without food and nothing happened. Well, maybe there's things going on that you just either don't want or don't recognize. God is drawing you close and you're like, yes, this is good, but that's not what I asked for. Well, no wonder you're frustrated, because you yet again are pursuing what you think is best. And so in these times, I'm not asking God to give me the guy that I think. I want to ask God to give me the guy that He wants for this place. I'm not asking Him to give me or give the church or bless us with $6 million, dollars. And that would be awesome, but that's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is that God would move in the hearts of the people to use them so that we can do ministry here, and so that the gospel goes forth, and so that man, they get to see what it is like to trust God with their finances. And that's the most some of the most exciting stuff in a relationship with God is trusting Him with your finances. Sometimes it's scary, but it's exciting. And so I want you to know that when we're praying and when we're fasting, we're seeking God, and I want you to seek God's face so that you draw closer. I mean, I don't think God would not give us people to be saved because that's His will, but if for some reason God were to say, we've got a guy we're really close to, that's not him. Right? That would be really extremely disappointing. It would be, right? Because that means we've got to start all over, all that stuff. But you know what? If through all of this, God revealed Himself, and as a body, we drew closer to Him, and we were more in love with Him, and His answer was not this guy, then man, I'm so much more excited about that than I'm depressed about having to start over. Why? Because guess what? That is the reward. You will get your reward. You know what it is? If you will fast and pray with the right heart, you get God. You draw closer to Him. He says, this is what I want for you. This is my will for you. This is the best for you. Now you tell me, do you want what God says is best, or do you want what you've tried to figure out which is best in your life? Right, so that's why I'm willing to say, or willing to do this in my life. Push aside something that is good, right? Something I can have, something that's even maybe beneficial to me. But I'm going to set it aside because there's something that's been promised to me that is so, so greater than a Twinkie or a ribeye, right? It's so much better. You know what that is? That is a closer relationship with God. That is understanding His will for my life. That is finding direction. That's finding what's best in my life. We've got about 3 minutes left. And so I just want to spend this time just praying. Just right where you are. It's going to be quiet. We started with prayer. We're going to end with prayer. And it's going to be awkward. Do you know what? Pray anyway. Because God hears your prayers. You can pray for whatever, but if you would want to, let me give you these four things again. God's guidance and wisdom as we pursue this candidate. God to bring spiritual renewal. God to give us salvation. God to direct each of us as to what He would have us give next year. We got 2 minutes. I'll close this in 2 minutes. Bow your head and close your eyes. And so, Father, I'm thankful for Your word and how it explains life to us and what You expect of us and how we can just grab everything that You have promised to us in the fullness of this life, all with the hope of the fullness of the life to come that will be far greater than even this. So forgive us where we will pick up our banner instead of picking up our cross. Forgive us where we do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Forgive us for neglecting the weightier things and for pursuing the trinkets of this world. And Father, thank You for grace and forgiveness that allows us, when we see these truths, to repent and to turn and to run to You and to know that You will receive us because of the blood of Christ, not because of anything we have done, and that we can begin afresh and anew and pursue You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so as we finish this week as a body, as we fasting and we are praying, I pray that You would open up the windows of heaven and pour out Yourself. That we would just find in our personal lives, each individual, a closeness to You that we haven't sensed in a long while. And that it would transform us individually, but it would also transform us as a body. We would seek Your face, seek Your will, and seek for you to tell us where and how and when and why. And may you be honored, and may the world look at us and not see us, not see a church, but see a people who worship a great and a mighty and an awesome God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.